Are you ready to open an investigation into your hormonal health? Welcome to the Decode Your Hormones miniseries, hosted by Your Hormone Balance founders, Ryan and Candace Birch. Let's crack this case open. Welcome back to our Decode Your Hormones podcast miniseries, where we're helping you get to the bottom of hormonal symptoms and concerns with a little bit of investigative work. Now, if you're joining us for the first time and are new to Your Hormone Balance, we're so glad you found us. I'm Ryan, co-founder of Your Hormone Balance, and throughout this series, I'm joined by my mom, Candace Birch, who is a hormone health educator with a master's in health education. She has been advocating for testing and safe, natural approaches to help women relieve hormonal symptoms for most of my life. So my mom and I just recorded a very passionate, wide-ranging conversation around hormone testing to help you not only understand the main hormone testing options available, including blood testing, saliva, and urine, but also to address why opinions about hormone testing can vary so much, the problem with treating women's hormonal concerns without any testing, including doctors prescribing hormone replacement therapy based on symptoms alone, how hormone testing has advanced in the last few decades, and we touch on my mom's experience as director of education at ZRT Labs, which was founded by her mentor, breast cancer researcher Dr. David Zava, and the importance of advocating for yourself and your hormonal health needs. One pro tip, we highly suggest testing from an experienced lab, ideally one specializing in hormone testing, so that you know you're getting the most accurate hormone data possible for you. Also, no matter how you test, you should be given test prep instructions to further ensure accuracy of your results. For example, we give clear instructions on all the following: proper collection timing if currently using oral birth control or hormone replacement therapy of any kind, proper collection timing if collecting cortisol 4 times a day, when to test based on your menstrual cycle length and regularity. Postmenopausal women can test any day of the month, while premenopausal women can test with a regular, irregular, or absent cycle, but those instructions should be based on your unique cycle details. Also, there are certain products that can skew results if used right before testing, such as steroid-containing products or medications, and even some anti-aging creams that can include undisclosed trace hormones. So this is just really important to not only make sure you're given these instructions, but also to review these instructions thoroughly before your test collection or your test day. Finally, while testing is an important piece of the puzzle, if you're looking for actionable next steps, results should always be analyzed along with present and recent symptoms, lifestyle patterns, and your current age and hormonal stage. If you're interested in this kind of an approach, as well as receiving personalized, natural rebalancing guidance, visit yourhormonebalance.com for more details about what we offer to help you decode your hormones. Now, if you have any questions as you listen to this episode, feel free to email us. It's info@yourhormonebalance.com. There was so much more we could have covered, so we might need to do a part two. Let us know what you think and enjoy this episode. Welcome back, Mom. Thank you for joining me and making this work, even though you're currently in Cambridge, England, and trying to have a little getaway.
Yes, it's a beautiful, wow, it's a beautiful town. Had never been to Cambridge, and it is glorious. I've only seen a little bit of it, but it's
exciting. She is kind enough to be getting to her hotel room and immediately recording with me. And my dad is waiting in the lobby to eat dinner. So
probably having a nice glass. So he's probably sitting there with his poetry books, having a little bit of gin in a lovely glass and enjoying his time alone to the hilt. So it's okay.
Oh, then he'll be just fine. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to digging into the world of hormone testing together today, including a review of the main hormone testing types available. And obviously, we'll go over your perspective, our perspective on the pros and cons of each. As many of you know, we do currently offer hormone testing in saliva, but we support any test that will help you get answers and symptom relief, and that's why we're doing this episode. We want women to know how these different types of hormone testing differ so you can be prepared for the outcomes and even create a plan that will help you get more accurate results. So again, we are here to share our unique perspective, which is really built around your 30 years of experience in the field, Mom. I've been in this industry now for just about 10 years, including my experience as a weight loss consultant offering hormone testing to help women rebalance and lose weight. But we've been in business now for 8 years. And so we've seen thousands of test results. You've seen thousands of test results from your years at ZRT Labs as director of education. You know, we have seen how life-changing it is for women. It has been life-changing for us. That's how we got into this. for you, for me, for so many of the women that have gone through this process as well. So it's really hard to not be a believer in the power of hormone testing. But there is a lot of controversy around this topic, and everyone seems to have an opinion about the best type of testing or if testing is even helpful at all. And famously, many doctors will say, oh, hormone testing is a waste of time, or, your hormones fluctuate, so we'll just go off symptoms. So there's everything from that to even in the functional medicine community, oh, urine testing is the only kind of testing that will give you answers. And of course, that's the most expensive, that's the most complex, and it requires in-depth interpretation by a functional medicine practitioner to even begin to understand what those results mean. Definitely value in that type of testing. And really, there is value in, there can be value in every type of testing. But why do you think there are such divided opinions on hormone testing from your perspective being in this industry?
Well, I think first of all, the fact that most people, if they're going to have a hormone test, which has been a relatively recent awareness that there even is a test for hormones, it's not something that's done routinely in doctor's office, not even now. And if you're going to have a test, generally it would be your blood test, a blood draw, the standard blood draw, because that is something that insurance might cover. So I think it always starts at that place that the type of testing you would do is get a blood test. And in the interim, in the the last 20, 30 years, there have been the development of other ways of testing. Saliva has always been the gold standard, in particular for measuring cortisol stress hormones, because they operate on a diurnal curve and you want to test four times in one day. So you can't really be running to the doctor four times in one day to measure at these optimal times. So also needles can be invasive and painful and cause stress, which will skew results for stress hormones in any case. That's just an example of why there are different ways of looking at testing. And then urine, dried urine, tells you something altogether different about what your hormones are doing on the back end. You're looking at the breakdown of hormones as they're being metabolized and going down certain detox pathways. So the short answer is there are different, every test is actually measuring different parameters. You're getting different information from each one of the tests. And so there are people in different camps because they think, oh, you can learn this from blood, this from saliva, this from urine. But we have our stance as to why we're in the saliva camp, but there are also good reasons for doing other kinds of testing.
Yeah, and we'll get into those reasons in a moment. But it's interesting. I was just watching a clip from, there's this Dr. Mike. I think he's like a TV doctor, and he has a podcast. And he had this Jen Gunther is her name, I think. This doctor on, and the clip I saw was them talking about how women wanting hormone testing is one of the biggest problems for doctors, and that it's just this huge. And they were just sort of shaming, in a sense, women who want testing and talking about how it's not reliable and it's a waste of time. And I thought it was fascinating that all of the comments were from women saying, really? You're going to make us feel terrible for wanting insights, more data about what's going on when you don't help us otherwise? And it was the primary sentiment of all of these comments
Interesting,
on
yeah.
a doctor's podcast. And again, doctors in the traditional sense are using what is covered by insurance, which has only ever been the standard blood test. It doesn't mean you can't take any insights from a standard blood test, but there are a lot of reasons those results can be inaccurate or less helpful or come back normal, which is the case for so many women. A few of those reasons up front that we will say is you're generally testing, if your doctor agrees to test you, it'll only be blood. You are only testing on the random day of your appointment. So unless you have this intel and this foresight to plan your appointment on a specific day in your cycle, if you have a cycle, then you're likely not testing within the proper window. And so that's one core problem. The other problem is that most doctors, the majority of doctors, have not been trained on any other form of testing except for blood. And again, hospitals operate within the insurance machine. It's what is covered, what is at our disposal. Can't really blame them for that. But the problem is how they kind of poo-poo other types of testing, which can be so life-changing for women. And that's why so many women are finding testing elsewhere, ideally at labs that are reputable, that have been in, committed to precision and advanced forms of testing and research, like our lab, ZRT, which I wanted to explain up front, is where my mom worked for well over a decade. Was you were one of their first employees.
Yeah, actually, it was a small group then. David Zava started the company in 1998, I believe, and I came on in 2000. So we were in a little building in Beaverton, Oregon, and it was yeah, we had some huge explosions and, changes as there always are in the world of hormones, and just kept growing and growing and growing because people got results. They got the information they needed. It can be life-changing. It is life-changing. And, I think the case for hormone testing is, you're saying there wasn't a happy response to the poo-pooing of testing. I mean, would you take thyroid hormone if you weren't tested? Would you take insulin if you weren't tested? Nobody wants to take a medication that is potent and systemic in your body without having some know-how or some knowledge behind the need for it. You can go, yes, symptoms tell you a lot. You need to have that correlation with the levels that are within a range. There is a healthy range. So that argument about, oh, hormones fluctuate. Yes, they fluctuate, but you can test them at an optimal time in your cycle. You can test them at an optimal time of day. And there's a healthy range. I think in general, the argument really is we women do not want to be fobbed off about this. We don't want to be told, oh, just take, that not testing is an excuse for one size fits all prescribing. If you want to have some hormones, then here, I'll just prescribe you this. Like what you, the woman down the street, the lady in the grocery store, we all get the same thing. Really? We're all different ages. Some of us have had hysterectomies. Some of us are trying to get pregnant. Some of us are trying to deal with menopause. We do not all require the same kind of hormone treatment. We may need hormones, but we need to know that we need them. And to what extent?
Or to
I
what
mean,
extent, and
it makes me angry, not angry, but frustrated to hear that kind of argument. And it's funny, you can get a rise out of me and everybody in this industry every time because we've been fighting this argument forever. It's
for
like, why do
decades.
we not have a right to have the test results that we need before we make decisions for treatment that is really very potent and powerful? The absence of data is a problem. To not have any information about what's actually going on, the fact that it can be tested is so revealing. You're pulling back the darkness and you're shedding light on your internal hormonal milieu. You're looking at all these different hormones and seeing how they're interacting. Are they in balance and playing? Are the instruments playing in harmony as they should be? Or are they way out of balance? And so you're determining not only levels, but you're determining the extent to which your hormones are out of balance. And that is not only helpful for us as patients who want to have the information, and women are so much more aware now, and we're so much better at advocating for ourselves. And in fact, we're frustrated because the information keeps changing all the time. We've lived under a blanket of fear for the last couple of decades about the use of hormones at all. But it's not only for us as patients, but it's the triad: patients, doctors, and pharmacists. We need to work together to find the right individual treatment for each woman. And doctors really use these test results as a way to prescribe the proper amount of hormone, to restore hormones individually, tailor those hormone levels to need. I don't need the same type of hormones that a woman who had a total hysterectomy 20 years ago needs. You and I don't need the same level of hormones. We're all, and every woman in my age group is different to a certain extent. It may be minute differences, but it's individualizing that has made the difference for women. None of us want to be taking one kind of blanket prescription. that, that one size fits all, that is old school. That is, I really think if you have a doctor that wants to put you on one prescription for hormones based on your symptoms, or wants to put you on an antidepressant or a birth control pill, run, do not walk, find another provider. Because thank God in the last 20 years, we've had an explosion, as you said, of the availability of hormone testing. I think I mentioned on the last episode we did that when I got into this, I got into these symptoms of perimenopause and was, out of my box with hot flashes, night sweats, and mood swings. I had no idea there was a test that could test my hormone levels. I didn't know that. Well, now many, many, many more women know it because there are many more test labs out there that are doing a great job. And why are they growing? Why is that industry now competitive? Because it's help because they're helping women. So it's the patient we need to know, we need to advocate for ourselves. We want to have that information before we can feel safe, before we can find safe solutions. Our doctors need to know so that if we need hormones, they can prescribe them properly and appropriately and safely for us. And the compounding pharmacist or a pharmacist that is creating that combination of hormone for you, hopefully bioidentical, is also needing to look at those test results to see what, the level should be. In fact, pharmacists are often working very closely with doctors. Now, some functional medicine doctors have been trained specifically in this. It's finally happening, but there is still a dearth of trained, the average GP is not trained in menopause medicine or treatment. So they often need to work with a pharmacist who does understand what the levels mean and knows what dosages are appropriate for this woman.
And not every woman, as we talked about in our last episode, younger women don't necessarily need to be on bioidentical hormones, depending on the need, again, depending on the levels, right? Because actually, some younger women with very low levels or maybe coming off birth control trying to get pregnant can benefit from a low dose bioidentical hormone. But beyond using hormone testing for hormone dosing and precision and best results, it's also supplements. It's also can be what you're eating to fuel your hormones. We can look at a test result and see, low estrogen in someone who's taking the supplement DIM. Well, DIM is a supplement that can lower estrogen levels. So that can be a flag for you to say, oh, this might not be the best supplement for me at this time. Again,
Be great
everything
for someone that has too much estrogens.
and make these decisions, hopefully, on your own accord, backed with research and knowledge to help guide your decision. But definitely we always suggest, partnering with your doctor or your healthcare team, ideally finding a doctor who is open to exploring and looking at test results and also open to natural approaches.
Well, as I say, doctors are working for us. They're working for us. The reason education is so important is that we need to understand the questions we should be asking. We need to understand how our hormones work in our bodies. We need to be aware of the symptoms that we're having that are not normal. We tend to normalize symptoms because women have been living for so long, for years and years, with these, with everything from aches and pains and horrible periods to the worst kind of mood swings and PMS and UTIs, and we just kind of get on with it, don't we? We just suffer in silence. We're losing bone. We don't even know it. And so the education is absolutely key. If you don't know what's happening, how can you go to the doctor and ask for what you need? How can you even, you might not even bring it up that you have, these things because you just think, oh, well, my mother had them or my sister had them or, that's just normal. And we're trying to crack that open and say, this is actually not what you should be expecting to deal with. It doesn't have to, and the idea that menopause is like that women approach that with dread, it doesn't have to be that way in any shape or form. So, but the more we educate women, and I really feel we've made a huge, huge progress since I started at ZRT. And one of the things I love about the saliva test format that we use is that I watched Dr. Zava staying up night after night. He stayed there at the lab not only running the lab in the early days, but creating a symptom checklist that was then correlated with the levels that showed up in the test result, so that you could actually get the information that said, oh, your estrogen is high, your progesterone is low. That's why you're seeing, that you have terrible PMS, or that's why your periods are so heavy, or the whys and the opening up of there's a reason for this. It
Potential root
shows.
causes, yeah.
And so the potential root causes and the link between the symptoms and how you're feeling. And that is such a revelation for most women. That's when they're just, it's kind of like you want there to be something that shows up on a test result for someone who's been suffering with this, that, and the other. But so many women will say to me, I mean, all the time, they say, why didn't anyone tell me about this? Why
Yeah.
didn't the doctor talk to me about this? How come I never knew about this? And it is kind of shocking. We do talk about how we don't get this in school. We don't get it in college. We're still not getting it. So I feel we're on a sacred mission here. It's a labor of love to keep talking it up, to keep, and given all the changes that are constantly happening, the way hormones are changing and hormone treatments and, the approach to this whole thing, we have to stay on top of this.
There's a lot of advancements, not only new clinics popping up offering hormone testing and different types, but there's also a lot of hormone replacement therapy clinics now, and a lot of those do not require or suggest testing. So there's all of that now too. And then there's this spectrum of testing options that women need to try to figure out, well, where do I start? And everyone has an opinion. And so we want to get into that. And I did just want to mention that our labs, ERT, they offer saliva, urine, blood spot testing, serum testing, and are continuing to advance and innovate their test methodologies as well as clinical research. So we love ERT. There's obviously many other labs, but we just wanted to share that, they offer many types. We've chosen saliva for specific reasons. And Mom, I'd love if you could share some of those reasons that you've loved using saliva over the years.
I mean, basically, I'm a fan because I've seen the changes that we've been able to make in the dialogue around hormones and in the approach to treating women in menopause. We've worked at ZRT, we worked with doctors and pharmacists and nurse practitioners and naturopaths with our education and our testing. It kind of revolutionized the way treatment for women in menopause or in other stages of, hormonal imbalance has evolved. I think we're a big part of that. And I know now that ZRT has tested over 10 million people, which is amazing, women and men. But the great thing about saliva is that it's so simple, it's so convenient, it's non-invasive, there are no needles involved. You can test in the privacy of your own home. And not only is privacy important, but it's just that, you need to test first thing in the morning when you're testing your stress hormones, because the test looks at your cortisol stress hormones, which need to be tested across the pattern, the diurnal curve of morning, noon, evening, bedtime, at the same time that we're testing estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA. So there are four tubes that are collected. Those need to be at, certain times of day. They also need to be at the right time in your cycle, the luteal phase. If you're a cycling woman, if you're not, you're in menopause, you don't need to worry about that. But we're getting the surge in hormones. So we're looking for the healthy ranges and when hormones are optimally there so that we can measure the best, most accurate picture. And it's easy to do because it's saliva. But I'd say one of the biggest, most important reasons is that salivary testing is looking at hormones that have escaped the bloodstream, as we put it, or left the bloodstream to become active in the tissues, i.e., the cells of the body. So that's a big deal because when you do a blood test, they're measuring total hormone. And all, because hormones live in your, they're in your bloodstream, but they are bound to a carrier protein, like sex hormone binding globulin or albumin. They're bound, so they're basically inactive. It is that there is a fraction of hormone that is always leaving the bloodstream to travel in the tissues to the cells where they bind to the receptor site and then start flipping the switches. So it's the hormone that leaves the bloodstream that is biologically active. So when you do a saliva test, you're getting a better picture of what's actually at work in the tissues at the cellular level. And those levels generally correlate much more closely with the symptoms you're experiencing. Because if you're looking at a total levels in blood, you may get a result. Women also often do get a result that says, oh, your levels are normal. But let's take testosterone. What if they tell you your testosterone is normal in a blood test, but they didn't look at your SHBG, the hormone, the protein binding? If that's high, then that means there's not a lot of available testosterone. There's not a lot of free available unbound testosterone. It's all bound up by this carrier protein. We don't have to do that with saliva because we're already measuring free, active, unbound, bioavailable, biologically available hormones. So you're going right, cutting right to the chase. You're finding out what's at work. That's what I want to know. That's what we want to know. And then we can correlate it with your symptoms, and it all makes so much more sense to women to have that kind of information. So saliva itself is, I'd say, the best place to start. It's the simplest, it's the less scary of the tests. It's also the gold standard for measuring the stress hormones. As I mentioned, there's something called the cortisol awakening response. So when you wake up in the morning, your cortisol levels should be at their highest level. They should be surging. You've slept all night, melatonin was running the show. Now, as light comes up and you're waking up, your melatonin drops and cortisol should be at its highest level. Then it should drop gradually throughout the day. You want to still have a robust level at noon, but then it should, start gradually dropping towards evening and bedtime so that you're calming, your body is preparing for sleep. And that's what we want to see. Is it following that normal pattern? Well, saliva is the known, widely recognized gold standard for measuring that diurnal curve with cortisol stress hormones, because as I mentioned earlier, it's not even realistic to think about getting a blood draw 4 times in 1 day. And how
And
do you get it
nobody.
in the lab? I mean, you can't do this at home. We can measure in blood spot. Dried blood spot allows you to prick your finger and get a blood sample that is dried on a specific type of filter card that you can send in. But it is convenient, and it measures free levels because you're looking at capillary blood. But we use it to measure thyroid hormone. We measure
Vitamin D.
we use blood spot, yes, as Ryan just as you said, to measure vitamin D. I mean, there's an example again of another test that isn't routinely suggested for women, vitamin D levels. And yet vitamin D deficiency is so much a problem. And vitamin D isn't really even a vitamin, it's a hormone. It's a hormone made by the action of the sunlight upon your skin. It's then made in the body. And we know that the deficiencies of vitamin D are legion, everything from depression, seasonal affective disorder, and bone loss to, even weight gain and visceral, that abdominal fat that puts you at risk for heart disease and insulin resistance and all the rest. It's also a powerful immune supportive hormone. So that alone, just having these results is so game changing, so important. And at any rate, I think saliva, I'm a fan because I know of its benefits, and I know how it, what I'm explaining here. All of these points are really important considerations when you choose to start testing. And it's a beautiful place to begin. If you want more information, if you want to go get into the weeds and really dig and find out how your hormones are metabolizing and what pathways they're moving down and how are they ending up as metabolites in your body? How is the liver functioning with, dealing with those hormones? That's when you do dried urine testing to measure that. And that is a far more complex picture. It opens up even more information. So there's a reason to do that too. But as I'm explaining, each of these things measures different measurements. They all have their value to some extent. But what is most valuable, I believe, in my humble opinion, is to have the biologically active levels of hormone measured right there in black and white, the correlation with hormone symptoms that you're experiencing and then the explanation of what's going on.
Great. Yeah, and another point on the blood spot testing, which we can offer for vitamin D and thyroid, but it can also our lab also measures it for insulin resistance markers like insulin, HbA1c, and even thyroid is another hormone that is tested traditionally, but it's often only like one or two markers. It's not always all
Oh, so
free
common.
T3, free T4, TPO antibodies, which can be, a root cause for Hashimoto's. And so there's just, again, why we need to know what to ask for, because a lot of times those tests can be available, but they're not necessarily offered up front. But just to recap here, some of what you've said, and to give the spectrum of options for women, you are most commonly going to be offered a standard blood test by your traditional doctor covered by insurance, because that is covered by insurance. That is a type of testing, she explained, is capturing total hormone levels, not the portion or the fraction that are free active in the cells of your body where they're really at work and most correlated to the symptoms you're presently experiencing. So you and the other problem with standard blood tests is that they are, again, taken at one time of day, usually on the random day of your appointment, not based on where you're at in your cycle. It the ranges are really standardized for mass populations, not necessarily for your hormonal stage of life or what's optimal. So
Very important.
there are doctors, especially in the functional medicine community, that will look at optimal ranges, but that's not something that's going to just be on your test result necessarily. So if you're only going off of what the quote unquote normal ranges are on a standard blood test, a lot of women find they're put in this normal range. Again, you kind of have to go deeper, and you're not generally going to get that in a 15-minute appointment. Then up from that, you have, honestly, saliva is kind of next in terms of cost. It is out of pocket. That is one of the drawbacks for a lot of people. It's not covered by insurance. We wish it was. One shortcut to getting coverage is you can use your HSA or FSA dollars to cover hormone testing. So that's a great way to do it. We offer in our current packages, we offer split payment options to make it affordable too. But of course, we're much more about the custom guidance about how do you take these results and your symptoms and your hormonal stage of life and apply natural lifestyle changes to support your hormones and relieve symptoms. But what is really important with levels of saliva or really any hormone testing, again, is to look at what is optimal for premenopause, perimenopause, or postmenopause, which we go over what those stages mean in our last episode. But making sure that if you do a saliva test with anyone, that you are looking at it through that lens, and that you also are making sure to test at these optimal times. So again, in as you said, mom, mid-luteal phase when hormones are surging, you're collecting four times a day to capture that full cortisol curve. And this can also be captured in urine testing. Urine testing also does cortisol mapping at different times of day. But again, as a recap, that form of testing goes much, much farther in terms of looking at your metabolite pathways. This can be a good test for people that are dealing with complex hormonal conditions, concerns. Maybe you've been changing your lifestyle or introducing supplements, and maybe you're not feeling better and you need more answers, especially also women who are at risk for breast cancer or who are concerned about breast cancer risk. It can be helpful to look at your certain pathways to see and make sure that estrogen is metabolizing properly down the proper pathway and not the pathway that can actually contribute to increased risk for breast cancer in particular.
That is an important thing to determine if the pathway that you want your estrogen to be metabolized down is the one that it's following, not the one that leads to storage or to conversion to more potent forms of estrogens.
The next form of testing I wanted to mention is free hormone blood testing. So serum hormone testing, where they actually are capturing free levels of a blood hormone, which is not going to be the standard blood test covered by insurance. This is generally out of pocket. This is generally more expensive as well. But it is important to just have that in your mind that ideally gold standard is capturing active, that fraction of hormone that is active in the body. And so it can be done in blood as well, but again, that is going to need to be generally out of pocket.
And it's important to understand what we're, the fact that we're delineating the differences in this testing is important for listeners because then you know what to ask for. I can't say strongly enough that I really do think it's best to start simple. For so many women, they have generally not tested at all. They've never tested their hormones. And this is the first time, and they've come around to thinking that, the symptoms they're dealing with probably aren't okay. They don't want to normalize them anymore. They don't want to push them away. They want to find out what's going on. And the simplest place to begin, I mean, even if you start with the blood test that you the blood draw at your doctor's, it can possibly suggest something is off. I mean, that's a beginning thing. But if you feel like you get a result and it says everything's normal, and you know darn good and well that you don't feel normal, and you're trusting your intuition that this is hormonal, and if this test is saying that it's a normal range, then I got to know further. That's when you graduate to saliva testing, which is going to really peel back the layers, and then on to the more complex things as needed, if needed.
This is also an accessibility issue in the health
Oh,
and
yeah.
wellness world. So many people cannot afford these out-of-pocket forms of testing, and again, that's where we try to make it more accessible with split payments and HSA, FSA, but obviously, it would be ideal for saliva testing to be covered by insurance, for urine testing to be covered by insurance. But all we have to work with in terms of what's most affordable, what's accessible, is that standard blood test. One of the other main points we do want to make is just no matter what form of testing you use, ideally, you're going beyond just that test report. And again, looking at because each form of testing measures different things. Not every form of testing sets ranges based on the age, hormonal stage you're in. And then where we come in and why we exist is that we saw such a need for that next step beyond testing. So you get the lab report. What's next? And also, you can't just take the test report at face value and expect that to be the answer for everything. It does require a deeper analysis of your symptoms, if you have a cycle, how some of your hormonal fluctuations throughout your cycle might lend themselves to a change in symptoms at different phases. And again, a deeper understanding of where you're at in the reproductive life cycle and how you might start to see some hormonal changes and new symptoms as you age, which we covered in our last episode. And then exploring all of the wonderful natural rebalancing techniques that we all have access to. And that's what's so wonderful about some of these natural approaches is that so many of them are free. So many of them are behavioral lifestyle changes, sleep, wake timing, light exposure, how you're building your plate, how you're eating timing. And then you can supplement with certain micronutrients or key herbs, or even plant-based bioidentical hormones to top up and restore or optimize the levels based on what results show and or your symptoms show. But there are a range of options from completely free self-care, breath work to some of these more advanced options like hormone replacement therapy. And so that's where we come in and we like to provide lots of education and insights and suggestions to help guide you in the right direction, to help fast track your path to getting answers and getting relief. And in our next episode, we are going to decode what it means to create a natural rebalancing plan. It is something that you can do in your day-to-day life, but there are a lot of things to know, and we're going to break some of those practices and approaches down in the next episode.
Rebalancing is it's a journey, and we want to point you in the right direction and get you started on that journey. This is about, really for us, it's about education so that you can advocate for yourself, so that you can take matters in your own hands. We are the captain of our ship, right? We want to handle this on our own. There, lots of accessibility is an issue. You can't always see a doctor. You can't always afford a functional medicine thing. Person, but we can provide the kind of information that is going to help you make the changes that are going to provide a real benefit to you, something that you notice, something that changes the way you feel, something that reminds you that you can feel better. And sometimes women are just absolutely amazed at how much better they feel. So we'll get into it the next episode. And
And if nothing else, we hope listening to this podcast is helpful, that you have some aha moments, and that you are able to identify even one little baby step you can make that helps you feel better, helps you get closer to answers and relief. And that's why we're doing this. So thank you for listening. Thank you again, Mom, for joining me in this episode.
yeah, I'm happy to be here. I love doing this. I never tire of changing the dialogue, of moving us all forward. This is a woman's issue. It's a sisterhood, you know. Our
That's
hormones,
right.
ourselves, our bodies, we deserve this. So thank you for giving me the opportunity, daughter.
Ah, love you.
Love you back.
Okay, well, we'll see you on the next one.
You bet.